Older and wiser with age-friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyisland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.
Hi Lizzie, hi, welcome to the studio.
Hi Caroline.
Well, first of all, I've been reading a little bit about Carers Isle of Wight, and you're based here in Newport at the Riverside Centre. And how long have you actually been going? Is it a charity organisation?
We've had a carers organisation for over 30 years. The charity's been going for about 4 years now.
Okay. And who was it that set it up? What sort of led to it being set up? Can you remember?
Originally, I came on board to help create and get the committee, and it sparked from there, really.
Okay. And something that I read, which I found really interesting, was that there are, is it 16,000 carers on the island?
I believe that at the last census, 16,500 carers actually self-registered. However, most people don't recognise themselves as unpaid carers, Caroline.
I know, that's quite a distressing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Because they see themselves as wives, husbands, daughters, friends, neighbours first. So if you think that 16,000 people self-registered on the last census, the number must be much higher.
Yeah, that's true. And we sort of assume that carers are going to be looking after older people, but that's not always the case either.
No, and there are on the island carers of all ages. We currently support adult carers supporting adults over the age of 18, and some of our oldest carers are in their late 90s, so it can be any age and any disability that people are supporting.
Okay, and so how does it actually work? Is it a free service that you offer? Is there a cost involved?
We are a charity and we offer a free service to carers. Occasionally we ask for a donation for certain events, but only if people can afford it.
Okay, and do you have a lot of people getting in touch with you? Is it something where you find that a lot of people are coming to you, or do you actually go out to people? Do you get referrals from doctors and things like that?
That's a really good question. We get referrals from adult social care, GPs, the hospital, and from carers themselves and friends and neighbours who see people struggling. Anyone can refer. They can just get on the phone or email us and send it in.
And it must be very difficult, because I suppose if you're somebody who has got a full-time job and perhaps your partner is ill, and they become, you know, the condition gets worse, and you then got to make that decision of, do you carry on working?
You're quite right. Caring creeps up on you, and it just seems to happen. We always try and work with people who are currently working as well, so working carers, and we look at their circumstances, because actually if they can talk to their employers and look about what flexible working and look at what support is out there, they may not have to give up their job. And I guess that's the point, Caroline. People don't always know there is support out there, so often they give up their job because they see no other way for that person to be supported.
So you can actually help people who are in work. You can give them that kind of additional help that they might need. And the other thing that struck me as well is that carers, it can be an exhausting situation for them physically and emotionally, and they also need looking after themselves.
You're quite right. It's 24 hours a day, and for some carers, if you imagine that if you're a younger carer under 65, you get a carer's allowance of about £61 a week, and you're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and carers do not tend to look after themselves. They do not tend to think about their own well-being or health. So consequently, often suffer from long-term conditions themselves, which worsen because they're not looking after themselves. We hope to change that, and we hope to help carers look at how they can take care of themselves and take some time out and have a bit of fun as well.
That's fantastic. And if somebody's listening who is a carer, what's the first step for them to take? Would you suggest they contact you first and you can give them help and perhaps signpost them to other organisations?
Yes. What I would suggest is they give us a ring, and actually what we generally do where possible is arrange a visit and go and talk to someone in their own home or somewhere else if they would prefer. So it could be the office or it could be a local cafe, and have a chat about the circumstances and look at what they would like and how they would like to do that. So we try and work with people. Okay.
And can you help people in other ways? In that, you know, they might be perhaps not have a downstairs toilet, or they might not have the facilities within their own house to look after the person that they're looking after. Are there things that you can do in terms of perhaps getting them aids within the house? And how does that actually work?
That's a really good question. For small pieces of equipment, we can do some referrals for the Red Cross, so people get direct information. We also work very closely with Age UK and People Matter, who can also look at people's equipment needs or do a referral to the OT service. So we look at all around. And for some people, it may be looking at charities, and for others, it may be about self-funding.
That's great. And this afternoon, we've got Lizzie Martin here in the studio. And Lizzie, you are manager of Carers Isle of Wight. And we're talking about some of the other organisations that you work alongside on the island. And obviously, Age UK is one of those. So how does that actually work?
We receive funding under the Ageing Better programme, and that allowed us to employ 2 full-time staff. And it's effectively allowed us to increase our services immensely to offer carers a better service across the island. Effectively, that funding is for people over 50, but we have other funding streams that enable us to work with carers of all ages.
That's over fantastic. 18. And you were telling me that you offer all sorts of respite care and sometimes courses, and you were telling me about cookery courses as well, because that's something that you've done. Tell us a little bit more about that.
One evening I went to the men's group, and they were telling me that they were actually quite bored of cooking. They were caring for their partners generally, and they were bored of ready meals, and they wanted to learn how to cook, and they just had no idea. So they said, please, can you arrange some cookery classes? So we got some funding, and we did some cooking with them, and we gave them all a slow cooker, and they learned how to cook. It was amazing. And we actually extended that to have some younger people and other carers who, and there were some women who hadn't cooked all their lives and found them in that position as well. We had one gentleman who normally went out to the pub with his son from the mainland when he visited once a month, who decided to cook a meal for him. And he did a Thai curry, and the recipe said 2 tablespoons of the curry paste. Unfortunately, he misread that and put the whole jar in. However, they ate the lunch and said they thoroughly enjoyed it. So.
Oh, well. Nobody needed to know. Mind you, I can understand that, because if you buy, say, for example, you can buy ready meals now where you've got a pasta ready meal. Actually, if you cook pasta from scratch, it's not that difficult. You can add things to it, and it tastes a lot better than a ready meal. So I can understand how they got bored of ready meals. It wouldn't take long, would it?
It doesn't take long to learn to cook, but I think it's the confidence and actually having to do something new suddenly. And when you find yourself, some of these gentlemen were in their 70s and 80s learning to cook.
Yeah,
it's
certainly
hard.
That age group. Perhaps.
On your own, when you're responsible.
Yeah. I mean, those were the times when the women always did the cooking and always did the sort of jobs around the house, the domestic jobs. So what about cleaning and things? Is that something else? Can you help with that?
Well, we don't help with the cleaning, but what we can do is talk to people about what finances they've got in. And, for example, if they haven't got attendance allowance, if they're over a certain age, Age UK will help them fill in that form, or we could, if necessary. And that might pay for a cleaner to come in. So it's looking at all the options available to the person.
And what sort of state are people in? What sort of mental state? I mean, I can imagine it must be incredibly distressing if you are, you know, if you and your partner have been relatively fit and healthy, and then all of a sudden you find that they either have an accident or they're ill, and you've got to care for them. It must be very distressing for both parties. Do you find that? Is there an emotional, can you sort of help from a mental health and an emotional point of view.
As you say, people don't become carers. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens gradually, usually. And often people become quite isolated within the home because of their caring situation, and it's quite lonely. And carers learn to manage, so they find it hard to ask for help often. So what we do when people do, we try and persuade them to come to us before they hit a crisis point. And the earlier you get support, the better it is. But what we can do is offer some emotional support. And for some carers, we offer a key worker, so they have a key worker who they see on a regular basis, which enables them to have someone that they can talk to in confidence and look to how they manage their
lives. Excellent. And they also have a GP link worker. How does that actually work?
The GP link worker is linked to the carers lounge, and that's under the Living Well programme. And there we have the carers lounge based at the hospital, so carers who find themselves, their cared for person in hospital, can ask for support or use the lounge for tea and coffee. It's near Apley and Colwell Ward. The GP link worker is working closely with GPs to increase referrals at an earlier stage, and just to highlight carers' needs with GP surgeries and get GPs to think in a different way. So, for example, if a carer becomes ill, they may be caring for someone who finds it difficult to leave the home. So they may require a home visit because they're a carer rather than that because of their illness.
Oh, I see. So the home visit can be for the carer, not just the person that they're caring for.
And often GP surgeries maybe don't have that knowledge.
No, so they need to be made aware of that situation. And you wouldn't perhaps ordinarily feel that. I think, again, with that kind of an age group, people don't always feel they want to make a fuss and draw attention to themselves, or feel that it's not something that they are entitled to.
Very few carers ask for things for themselves. They will ask for the people they care for, but they very rarely ask for anything for themselves. You're quite right.
Okay, and socially, what help do you provide for carers? Because I saw something about an iPad library, so you actually loan out iPads.
We do. We have 50 iPads, and we loan them out to carers, and we also have a drop-in session where they can come and learn how to use an iPad. That's very basic learning, I have to say, Caroline. We had a lady in her late 80s who was not going to borrow an iPad in any circumstance, but just came for a cup of tea. Anyway, she saw Scrabble on someone's iPad, so she borrowed one to play Scrabble because she had no one to play Scrabble with. Anyway, we gradually introduced her to FaceTime, so that's like the Skype.
Yeah.
And anyway, her daughter and her grandson, who worked for Apple, had been trying to get her connected and on an iPad for many years and had failed. When we spoke to them, they put in the internet at home, bought her an iPad, and she was able to converse with her daughter, who lived in Switzerland, and talk to her grandson, who was all over the world. And it was just amazing to see this lady in her 80s.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And often it takes somebody from outside the family to be able to show somebody how an iPad works. So perhaps they might feel embarrassed to say to their children that, you know, they don't know how it works, or they don't feel very confident, whereas somebody can intervene and show them in a calm and sort of positive way. That's a great story. Fantastic.
Older and Wiser with Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyireland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.
This is the Older and Wiser Show, and it's Wednesday afternoon, and I'm here with Lizzie Martin from Carers Isle of Wight. And we've been talking really interestingly all about the different types of carers, the different age groups, and the different conditions that people suffer from. And something that has been in the news quite a lot recently has been dementia. And you do offer help for carers of dementia sufferers as well. How does that differ from the other help that you offer? And training as well, you mentioned.
I think when you're caring for someone with dementia, it is tough. It's tough being a carer anyway, but I guess what we try and persuade people is actually a key worker is quite useful, to have someone that you can actually turn to when you need to, and have regular appointments enable you to build up that trust and relationship. the illness does deteriorate, so until that happens, you're generally not ready to hear about what's going to happen next or what would be helpful and learn new strategies. With this in mind, we set up a dementia carers cafe. So this is a cafe for carers caring for someone with dementia, and we also have a room for activities for the people with dementia so they're able to attend. And we've invited the Admiral nurses along, and it's very much peer support and looking at strategies that will help people and people learning from each other. So that's one of the elements of support. The training you mentioned, we are due to start that in September, and that's to learn about what dementia is, what it's not, and the journey of dementia, and remembering that everyone's journey is individual because there's over 250 types of dementia that we know about. So it's an awful lot, and it's very different for every individual.
So that must be very, very challenging for anybody who perhaps has been married for a length of time and then their partner develops dementia, and seeing that change in the person's personality, it must be very, very, very difficult, and the carers in that situation must need a different type of support, really. Emotional and mental health support is something that we touched on earlier. It must be very isolating for both parties in that situation.
It does become very isolating, and I think people tend to hide some of the issues they're coping with. They don't tend to share it with family, and they tend to manage, because especially of when people of a certain age always manage and don't like asking for help. So I think that makes it tougher, and it's something we're all scared of. But what I would like to say is what we've learned, and we've worked quite closely with the Alzheimer's Cafe and Dr. Gemma Jones with dementia training, is actually if you understand what's happening in the brain, if you understand why someone's behaving in a certain way, you can actually learn how to reduce the stress and then the anxiety for someone and make it easier. And it makes it easier for the carer, because it is a disease, it is an illness that's deteriorating, and it's not about behaviours, it's not because they're being awkward.
No.
But actually, unless you understand that, it makes it really hard.
Yeah, and it must be difficult to keep your patience as well in some circumstances. If somebody who has been very sharp then deteriorates and isn't, then it must be easy to sort of get annoyed and lose patience and act in a way that you perhaps afterwards you might regret.
And I think when you've been asked all morning, when's lunch, or what are we doing next? It does become irritating. It doesn't matter how patient you are. It does become irritating, and it is hard. And I think the important thing is having someone you can talk to, someone you can trust, and time off, time away. We also run our quiet days, which enables the carer to have some time out and actually learn to relax and have some peace. And that can be really useful for carers with dementia. We look to support people so they have got the maximum funding and they do know what support's available, and to encourage people to get that support in, whether it's family, friends, or whether it's paid support, to enable them to have some time off.
Okay, and your role must be very rewarding, Lizzie, when you see people come in who have perhaps not known where to turn to, and that you can provide them with some support and some help, and you see them getting the benefits from that.
It is very rewarding. We all say, the whole team, we all think we're very lucky to do the job, and feel quite humbled at times when we meet people and see what they're coping with. And often carers actually have conditions themselves and are caring for each other, and that can be quite difficult.
And what's the ring round support that you mentioned earlier?
Oh, I love the ring round support. We have the lovely Sue Bennett, who's one of our volunteers and trustees of the charity, and she has a team of volunteers. They do tend to be ex-social workers and health workers, and they offer some of our carers who are perhaps more vulnerable or more isolated because of their caring role, and they offer a weekly phone call. So they get that call, they get to build up that relationship, and they let us know if there's an issue arising. So if there is something wrong, we can then
anticipate it. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
That's brilliant.
Support.
It's been really interesting talking to you, actually, and learning all about what Carers Isle of Wight can do for people. If somebody's listening and they think that they need some of the help that you offer. What's the best way? How can they get hold of you? How can they get in touch? Have you got a telephone number, an email address, a website that they can have a look at?
We do indeed. Our phone number is 533173. We do have a website, which is carersiw@.org.uk, and our email is info@carersiw.org.uk.
That's excellent. Thank you very much. I do hope you come in again in the future and let us know what's happening. You're over at the Riverside Centre, so not far away from us here at Vexis Radio. It's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Caroline. It's been grand.
We'll have some more music and then we'll have the news on the hour at 4:00.